This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me. Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. Coming to you here in Phoenix in a nice, balmy, cool 98-degree day where it's nice to get away from the 110-degree stuff. So today I have two guests with me. Tim Peterson is the leader of our men's ministry. Tim leads our 8-week men's courses. He leads support and prayer groups. And he does counseling, including our 2-day intensive. He has also been a missionary to Uganda. And Sandy England has been with us for more than 10 years. She leads our wives ministry, does individual counseling with wives, and she plays a critical role in prayer, which is the engine of this ministry. So, Tim and Sandy, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be back.
So,
thank you.
I just became a grandfather the end of March. And my oldest daughter had a baby girl, and it's wonderful to have a little one gracing our home again. And Tim just became a grandfather recently, I think in the last month or so. And
yep.
Sandy has a whole batch of them. But they're older than, you know, the babies we got. And sometimes when I look at that little girl's eyes, now 5 months old, and the trust that is there, and she's utterly helpless, the words childlike faith come to my mind. And I think back on my life and thinking, boy, I wish I could have had that childlike faith. In many instances where God told me to go one direction, and I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go my way. And then you know what happens when we do that, when we pull a Jonah, we can tend to get our face busted up. But I think it's just a beautiful picture of where I want to move toward is when God says, okay, I want you to go this way. And then I'm tuned into him with prayer and hearing his voice. And so, Tim, what is your take on childlike faith?
Yeah, it sounds pretty nice. And yet so many of us, I think, get caught up in what the world has to offer. And it creates a lot of doubt. Just even taking one step in disobedience, I think, especially for my life, created a lot of doubts. Is God really going to be there for me? Is he really saying one thing and doing another? And can I do both? Can I do what I want, and can I do what God wants? And it just seems like the childlike faith that I think God is taking me closer into is just, this is what I say, and okay, I'll do that. Completely trusting that that's what our Father knows and what is best for us.
And what are the keys to tuning in to hearing his voice so you know which way to go?
Well, I think you've already said it, prayer. I think there's a stigma of prayer that you have to sit down and you have to be in a group or you have to be going through your list of things that you want to ask God for. But I think that's only half of it, or even not even that. But just stopping and listening to who God is, who he wants to show you he is something that I think most of us don't even do. But then the other part of it is being willing to hear his voice all the way through the day, constantly coming back to, okay, God, you're here right now. I can talk to you about this stuff that's going through my head instead of just waiting until the next 24 hours hits and then I sit down with my prayer time. I think that constant conversation and constant awareness, just learning more and more how to do that, return my mind to him, that just, I think, opens the door for being able to hear his voice and know his leading.
And when our mind is just flying with things and maybe the enemy is throwing stuff at us and maybe the Holy Spirit is quiet, how do you discern between all that mess?
Yeah, I think that's it's a practice thing, but also understanding the Bible, getting into his word, you start to discern, well, no, that's not the way God works. This is his character, and his character is always love and not condemnation, though he does correct. But he doesn't condemn with you're an idiot, what's wrong with you, type of thing. And that, I think, is just practice and living out, okay, this is what you say, this is what I believe you're saying, I'm going to move forward with that. But then to check, did I hear you right? Even if things go great, you come back and say, did I hear you right? And God may say, no, actually, I wanted you to go through this hard, really hard time, but you avoided it and went the easy way. Mm. So I think that learning is a big key. Mm.
Sandy, what is your take on childlike faith?
As you guys were talking, I think of all my grandbabies and my own behavior, and I think I'm more of a toddler. And I think I want to do things my own way. And just like we do with our toddlers, we just keep working with them. Then I also was thinking about my upbringing. I was a rebellious teenager, and God was patient with me through that as well. So I think childlike faith is growing. We are just growing each and every step in our relationship with the Lord and what it looks like in different phases of our walk with Christ is different levels of learning. That's my idea.
And I want to tie this into rest for a moment. So, Tim, I remember years ago when you were in Uganda, you sent out a newsletter, and in that you mentioned resting while you work. And that caught me at the time because I pondered that, like, what does that mean? Because when I'm working, I'm not resting. And I think I know what you meant, but share what that looks like for you.
Well, I don't remember what I was thinking at the time. But I think it is just trusting God that he has the way forward, even in the midst of work, and that I can trust him that he's going to guide me to make even decisions that need to be made at work that are wise, that are godly, that are faithful to him and his way. And that just takes a lot of burden off, that not having to be a certain way, certain person, certain projection of who I am or anything like that. And I think the more that we trust him, the more we can rest in him to guide us. And also at times when we make mistakes, trust him that he's going to pick up the pieces and not beat ourselves up over that.
Yeah, part of learning to hear from God, I've learned, is that to discern between condemnation and conviction. Conviction is very gentle. It only hits the area of sin where the enemy uses condemnation like a sledgehammer to destroy. And so, Sandy, is rest a part of childlike faith?
Yes. I mean, well, it should be. I'm challenged with that all the time. Resting, as both you know. But I do, I watch the little toddlers, my grandbabies, and you can tell when they need a nap or they need a timeout or they just need snuggles or whatever, and they just need to rest. And you guys are definitely bringing out how I could rest better, just saying I need a snuggle or I need a little bit of time out. I was thinking about what Tim was saying, resting while you work. There's times when I just need to take a 2-minute time out from my day and just go talk to the Lord. And that's whether I walk outside or whatever. So I kind of think that for me is resting. And it's kind of like a distraction like you would do with a little one.
Let's take this further into people that we're helping. So I remember back in 2016 when I started the 8-week men's course, one of the first groups I led, the first or the second group, there was a senior pastor. And his elder called me and said, what do you need us to do to support him? He had been 60 years old and bondage to porn all his life. And I told him, all I need you to do is clear his schedule. And not only does his schedule not get cleared, it doubled and tripled. And he was doing the assignments at 3 a.m. and he eventually quit early. And a year later, he lost his church because he would not slow down and rest. So what do you see men struggling with when it comes to rest, Tim, and childlike faith? What's getting in the way of that?
I'm assuming you're asking me, not Sandy.
Yeah, I said.
I absolutely believe that it has to do with identity and self-worth. And we are worth nothing if we're working, apparently. That's what we think. Or that our identity is in our job. And if we don't work hard and do that job to the best of our ability, we will not succeed there. And then we've lost our identity. And that's terrifying, I think, to most men, to say what my identity is in my work must always be here. I have to be able to hold on to that. And at 60 years old, you're desperate to keep your job until retirement time. And so you'll do anything you can to make sure that you keep your job. And resting is not usually on our radar screen.
And when I think of resting, I also think of resting with God in silence, which means I have to face my heart. And what do you see with men in that area?
Well, I think most of us don't ever take the time to even stop. There's usually a radio on, a TV program, or we're into exercise, or we're doing constantly moving, doing something. And it's because we don't know what that means to just stop with ourselves and deal with ourselves. And most of the time I'm finding that guys have enough conflict in their life that if they stop and look at their life, they're just lost. And even in despair, because I've got so much train wreck behind me that I don't know how to fix it, so I'm just going to keep moving, and hopefully that'll all just go away at some point. And it never does.
So what does the discipling process look like of moving them into being comfortable in silence and stillness?
Well, I was given permission to share this story. One of the guys took your assignment and went on a 24-hour prayer retreat, and was there in the middle of night feeling like he couldn't sleep because he didn't have a CPAP machine, so he drove an hour and a half back home and an hour and a half back, and then woke up early in the morning and said, well, this is a big waste of time, and went home. And I suggested, try it again. Your Heavenly Father was glad his son showed up and was glad that his son came back again, driving all that distance just to meet with him. And so he tried it again, and he lasted a little bit longer, but he said, I didn't hear anything. I don't think God cares about me. I don't think he wants to talk to me. And I said, are you kidding me? Your good father is thrilled that you came back and tried it again. And it was after some time that he was taking a cross-the-country road trip and for 30 hours listened to Blazing Grace podcasts and felt like God was speaking to him one after another. And I said, you got your retreat. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, God met you and you didn't expect it. You got your retreat for 30 hours. And he was in tears. Thrilled that God decided to meet him.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And what strikes me is you just mentioned our core thirst. Is we're all thirsty and hungry for God at our core. And Bible knowledge is great. We need it. And ministry is great. But at the end, like A.W. Tozer said, we are thirsty and we're starved at our core for God.
Hmm.
And we try and fill that up with lies, things like pornography and sexual sin or gluttony or buying things that don't satisfy or whatever it is. So, Sandy, what do you see wives going through when it comes to learning to rest?
I think it's somewhat similar to what Tim finds. Wives' identity are being busy and fixing things and problem and taking care of the house and the kids and the budgets and whatever it is that they do. And when you say, do you spend time with the Lord, or, you know, what is the Lord telling you? Or they're like, I didn't have time. And then they start believing, kind of like that gentleman that Tim was talking about, well, the Lord doesn't talk to me, and the Lord's not speaking to me. And I'm like, but have you taken the time and ask him to help you make time? And it's amazing, the ones that really seriously want to seek time with the Lord, he kind of clears their schedule for them. Mm. And they start resting, and then hearing him better, but they still, their identity is, I'm busy, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm, you know, church leader, whatever they're doing, that's their identity. And when they start setting that aside, I think they kind of do what Tim was saying with the men, they start panic and afraid they're going to lose who they believe they are. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I know all the fear and the anger that comes along with that recovery process for wives, and how does that, or how might that interfere with resting with God?
Well, a lot of wives, when the first is exposed, the first thing they want to do is fix it. They don't want to deal with it anymore. They want to rush through it. They want to check the boxes and get it over with so they don't have to fill it anymore. And within a couple of weeks, they're feeling worse. So continuously reminding them that you don't have to rush this. You shouldn't rush this. you need to take the time and rest with the Lord and hear what he's saying and listen to his truth, not what you think your identity is. You're first his beloved daughter, not a mom, not a wife. And it's really hard for a lot of ladies to remember who they are and who God meant for them to be when they have all these other titles. Mm. So getting ladies to rest is sometimes challenging.
Mm. So I'm going to read a passage from John Eldridge's second Wild at Heart book. It's The Way of the Wild Heart. And he writes, "Most of the men I know operate out of their business training and principles of leadership. They operate out of a great deal of their own brokenness, but they do not, on any sort of regular basis, check in with God, submit to him, live as a man yielding his plans to him. Watch how Moses leads Israel out of bondage and guides them to the promised land. Notice how every chapter telling the story of Exodus begins from chapter 6 to 14. And he quotes, "Then the Lord said to Moses," and then the rest of the chapter is Moses doing what God told him to do. Is this how the men you know run their corporations, their churches, their families? I'm stunned by how little daily guidance Christian men seek from God. They have a good idea and they just run with it. Tim, you're also a pastor. This, he makes it sound like walking with God, I mean really hearing from him, isn't a common occurrence in church circles. What is your take?
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of talk that the only way to hear from God is to read the Bible. And then I think the Holy Spirit is completely thrown out of that equation. And yes, the Holy Spirit can speak to us through the Bible, but there is also the need to listen to him in everyday situation. And so I think the average man is just believing that I've got to figure it out. And a lot of people that I talk to say, "Well, I didn't know that God wanted to tell me. I just thought he gave me a brain, and so I should figure it out." And often it's God's going to come in and take care of the big things, and I've got to take care of every small thing in my life. And I don't see that in Scripture. I see God wanting to be intimately involved in everything that we do. And even every decision, I think that's pretty clear through Proverbs. So I think the majority of the church is missing out those conversations with God and hearing his voice speaking to our exact situation and then confirming it sometimes in very strange ways. But it's exciting to hear those stories. Mm.
Well, as you're speaking, I'm asking myself, have I heard much from a pulpit ever about how to walk with God and listen to him and hear him? And I have heard some pulpits where they say, no, God doesn't speak. And then I'm like, oh, man, it's like saying, here's a pot of gold, but you can't have it. And so have we become into head-driven, too knowledge-driven, too Google-ized?
Well, yeah, I think we definitely have. I think men in general are taught, maybe not verbally, but maybe by action, that relationships are not that important. It's how you appear and what you do. The actions you do, and relationships are for the women. And I'll have a relationship as long as it benefits me. And that's, unfortunately, that's where how many men, including men in the church, live.
Mm. All right, well, Sandy, we have 45 seconds left. I'm going to let you finish this off. Anything you want to say?
I think Tim was right on, and I think the women struggle because they believe they're the relationship part, they just struggle when their husband's not engaged. So, yeah, good point, Tim.
All right, my friends, join us next week. We're going to continue this conversation with Tim and Sandy, and thank you for joining us, and see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Genung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.